This episode is brought to you by the Inspire Collection by Kalia. Just because you're working out doesn't mean you shouldn't look fabulous. The Inspire Collection by Kalia was designed with both style and performance in mind. It looks good, feels good, and stays put no matter how you move. And the collection has everything you need for a day at the gym. A support bra, crop tanks, bike shorts, amazing leggings, and more. It's their most versatile collection yet. Shop the Inspire Collection by Kalia now, exclusively at Dick's Sporting Goods.
This episode is brought to you by Smart Food Popcorn. Some decisions aren't the best, like skipping ahead in your favorite podcast. Think of all the banter you'll miss, the lore in the making. Luckily, Smart Food Popcorn is a no-brainer. Deliciously tasty and available in a variety of fun flavors. It's a smart decision every time. Smart Food. Add smart. To learn more, visit smartfood.com.
Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parenting Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parenting Hell with...
Okay, can you say Rob Beckett and Josh Widdicombe?
Rob Beckett and Josh Widdicombe. Can I have the car keys now?
Yes, home before 10.
What is that? Are we an American sitcom now?
That is Emily Byrne. I am a big, big fan of your show. Listening to your struggles makes me relive my early days with her son, Cormac.
Cormac?
Like Cormac McCarthy. You guys keep me laughing. The little ones trying to say your names are lovely. Such a shock when my son's voice changed from when he was a little angel to who is this man in the house. When Cormac was little, my friend advised me to enjoy every stage of his growing up. And I'm still having fun with this kid. This is such an American attitude.
I'm still having fun with this kid. Come on already. Get off the sidewalk, you schmuckle. Cormac already.
So is Rob there? Because we seem to have crossed lines with them.
I'm in such a fucking weird mood, mate. Oh, my head's all over the gaff.
Yeah, is that because you've been working as a New York taxi driver?
You've just finished a shift on Broadway. Hakuna Matata. They're from Brooklyn, aren't they? The Warthog and the Meerkat from The Lion King.
Yeah, they are. I made sure he got his driver's license as soon as he could. The car keys are my best leverage these days. Pittsburgh.
No.
Ever been?
Never been to Pittsburgh. So someone's listening to us with a son called Cormac in Pittsburgh, America.
Too bloody right, mate. Too bloody right.
What state's Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Is that right?
That's near Philadelphia.
I just said that. Is that right?
Oh, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh sounds a bit like, you know when you're like, you're sweating a bit and it'll be like, absolute Pittsburgh, Tennessee under your armpit.
It is Pennsylvania. I'm absolutely delighted with that, Rob. What a start.
I love an American city. The most excited I'll ever be is when I land in an American city and then you just get in a cab and you drive to the centre of it. Philadelphia is amazing because you fly over their sports stadiums. I've told you about this before, haven't I?
No, you love a sports... So. Mate, I love a sports stadium from a train. Imagine it from... I'd take it from the fucking train, mate.
A stadium from the air. Basically, they've got... I swear, I don't know if I've told you this, but they have their baseball, hockey, NBA and NFL stadiums all together like a giant industrial estate, like an IKEA and a Costco type vibe. And in the middle of it is a massive bar that all of the fans go in and get pissed. Then they go to the games.
It sounds absolutely awful, Rob.
Shut up. You love it. Don't try and be all stiff there. You love getting pissed and watching sport.
I do enjoy getting
pissed.
This is
why we get on. Do you know... Because if you bore me, I'll just sling a beer down your neck.
I know, that's weird, isn't it? Because you have been drinking through these podcasts. That's the worst thing.
I've come back from Dubai. I got pissed every night, Josh.
Did you?
I'm exhausted. Yeah.
Are you? So tell me about
Dubai. Anyway, let's talk about Cormac.
No, we don't need to talk anymore about Cormac. We've talked enough about Cormac.
No. Let's knuckle it down. Where's Cormac going? Why do you need the car? Can't he get an Uber? let me send you this picture of Philadelphia from the sky. It's great. You'll love it. It's really exciting. Just look at... Look, I flew over that,
How many
Josh.
Coffees you had today, Rob?
Too many.
You can feel it. You can
I've
fucking
been up
feel
so
it.
Early. The clock's fucked me. I've been
right.
up since
can we start
half
with
four.
The
I'm
clocks? Can we start with the fucking clocks?
Yes, let's start with the fucking clocks.
It's the worst thing in the world.
It's and horrible.
I, whoever came up with it needs to be tried for war crimes at The Hague because it is fucking... Genuinely, it is the worst thing anyone has ever done. Is I don't know if it works better in spring. I can't remember because I never know which way it's going.
Whatever the way the clocks go, if you've got kids, your week's fucked.
Yeah, completely
that's basically
fucked.
What it is.
Completely
awful.
Fucked.
I woke up at 5 a.m. and then my kids come in saying I'm hungry, and I was like, I'm hungry. I was like, well, you can't be. It's five, but it wasn't. It was six in their head. Oh, my God. And also, I was in Dubai. That's 3 hours ahead. I'm 4 hours back.
Oh, mate.
I went to bed at 8:30 last night. We went to a Halloween party. Everyone was exhausted because you have to wait till it's dark to do a trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
And with Halloween is not for young children, I don't
also,
think.
Also, you can't go fucking changing the clocks the night before trick-or-treating because then when you're meeting up at 6, it's really 7.
Exactly. Your whole bath time's ruined. And I'm walking along the street with the kids crying, carrying them because they're tired. And there's, like, teenagers, like 13-year-old, dressed as aliens, spraying squirty foam, green squirty foam. And I literally said to my head, if one of those kids sprays it in my face, I'm going to punch him, even though he's 14. That's what I decided on in my head.
Trick or salt?
And the ultimate salt. Absolute headbutt.
The ultimate salt when Rob Beckett punched a teenager.
Have you seen the photo of the sports stadium from the sky?
Oh, no, let's have a look. God,
imagine flying over that,
morning,
Josh.
Aren't we? Oh, wow.
Look at that.
Lots of parking.
Lots of parking, tailgate, mate. Basically, Americans go to sport, get absolutely off their face, watch the sport, then drive home. Must be over
fucking
the limit.
Insane.
Can't
absolutely
believe
insane.
It.
I don't really like drinking when I go to the football because you go to the football and then you'd meet someone for a drink and you have 2 pints beforehand and then you can't drink in the stadium. So basically you're just sobering up at a football match.
You just
match.
Have to sneak it in. When Grimsby played Palace in Palace, obviously because Lloyd's a Grimsby fan, he got us tickets, but in the away end. So I had to go in the away end, even though Palace is probably my closest club. And then it's all quite laddie in the away end. And I went to the bar, ordered 25 bottles of lager.
Why?
And because there was loads of us. There's about 10 of us. And then we all hid it in our clothes and then took it out and drank and got absolutely battered in 45
Rob.
Minutes.
Oh, Rob.
It was one of the greatest 45 minutes of my life.
Grimsby versus Palace. One of the greatest 45 minutes of my life. What would be the best 45 minutes of your life? Well, I illegally drank 2 bottles of beer at Grimsby versus Palace. And that was one of the best 45 minutes of my life.
Well, not maybe top 10.
No,
let's be kind to my life. Top 25.
Okay.
Oh, God, so how are you with the clocks? You screwed...
It's
let's
shit.
Talk about clocks,
it's
clocks
shit.
First and then
it's
Dubai.
Shit. It's shit, it's shit.
It's shit, it's shit, it's shit. It's,
so my son has been waking up between 4:45 and 5:30. But when that becomes between 3:45 and 4:30, that is off the scale unfair.
How do breakfast DJs do it? I think you have to be slightly insane.
I did a week on XFM Breakfast once.
Yeah.
And I would say the opposite end of my life scale to Grimsby versus Crystal Palace. It was the worst week. The shows were perfectly acceptable because that's the bit when you're kind of engaged. And then at 10 a.m., you're like, well, what the fuck do I do in my life now? I'm jet lagged.
Yeah, you're basically, I think you have to accept that you're jet lagged for your life.
Working in radio, right, where the best job you can get is the worst job.
Yeah.
Like, it's just insane that that's the way it works.
Oh, but, you know, I've got a lot of respect for, like, because 4 hours at a radio show is too long, I think. You know, Justin Morash used to do a radio show on Radio Manchester or something.
Yeah.
It was a 2-hour show, and then because it all changed to 4 hours during COVID because it was less people in the studio and, you know, everyone doing their bit. And anyway, they've stuck with that now, and Justin Morash has gone, nah, leave it. I can't be arsed.
4 hours.
Absolute legend. 4 hours is a long time on your own playing songs. That, let's face it, you normally don't get to pick and pretending to love life. Like, 5 days a week, 4 hours. I know it's not like a long shift in a proper job, but 4 hours is a long time, isn't it? Just talking to yourself.
I'm Rob.
Yeah.
I've been spending far too much time with the guy that does the 3 a.m. till 7 a.m. on Six Music when I'm up, and I just feel for him.
Who's the guy doing... So someone's doing 3 a.m. till 7 a.m.
I think that must be his shift, because Lauren... Oh, no, he's 7.30 he finishes, because that's when Lauren Laverne starts.
Oh, also, you know, Lauren Laverne, she does a bit Radio 4, doesn't she? Does a bit Desert Island Disc now. She's gone, look, guys, I'm busy, I'm a big dog now, I want to come in at 7.30.
Oh, 7.30 a.m. is an absolute power play.
I know, and then that, all that happens is that poor bastard who's been there since 3, is like, oh, fucking hell, Laverne.
Would you, have I told you this before? That when Jamie Theakston and Emma Bunton used to co-host The Heart Breakfast, he'd start half an hour before her.
I'm opening up the shop. Well, actually, it's good. I get paid extra as a key holder. As a key holder for Heart FM, I actually get a little bit more money than the Spice Girl. Oh,
imagine?
My gosh. Really?
Imagine that, first Pico. Half hour on your own.
So who does art, though? Because Amanda Holden's knocking about. Kelly Brook.
It's Amanda Holden and Jamie Theakston, isn't it?
Ashley Roberts and Kelly Brook are knocking about as well. Are they cover?
Rob, I'm not across the Heart Radio schedule. I only know the Theakston and Holden because I went on. Let me have a look at the Heart Radio schedule. Heart Radio schedule. Breakfast, 6.30 till 10 a.m. Oh, that's 3.5 hours. Theakston and Holden.
I can't imagine Holden getting up that early.
It doesn't say in the description, MB, please note, Amanda Holden doesn't arrive till 7. Mark Wright does 7 p.m. till 10 p.m. Or would you prefer... you've got to do one, Rob.
Yeah, all right.
7 p.m. till 10 p.m.
Every day.
Or 6.30 every day, or 6.30 a.m. till 10 a.m.
I think I'd have to take 7 till 10.
Yeah.
I did Radio 2. Do you know there's a bloke actually called Paul Gambaccini?
Yeah, I know Paul Gambaccini. Of course. He's a very famous bloke.
I didn't know him. I thought that Paul Gambaccini was just like a funny name. Like, you know, what's he called? Who's the bloke who's got Engelbert Humperdinck? He's a geezer.
Yeah, of course he is, Rob.
I just thought it was like a funny name people put together, like Joe Bloggs.
Well, no.
But they're real blokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I didn't know.
Do send in your people that you didn't know were real until you found out.
Monty Don, Paul Gambaccini, Engelbert Humperdinck are mine.
Yeah.
People that you didn't think were real that actually are real. Send them in.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So, yeah, the clocks, yeah.
The clocks have screwed you, basically. So you're getting up at between 3.45 a.m.
Well, it was 4 a.m. this morning that he woke
4
up.
4 a.m., okay. That is very early, isn't it?
Yeah, we tried to sell it. No, it was 4.30. It was 4.30, sorry, it was 4.30.
Oh, okay. Oh, actually, what are you moaning about? Come on, mate, this is supposed to be people feeling sorry for you, right?
Yeah, you're like, you wake up at 4.30, you think it's only 2 hours to the Jamie Theakston Amanda Holden breakfast show.
Ian Wright always used to be late when I used to do rock and roll football on Absolute Radio.
Did he?
Have I told you the embarrassing rock and roll football story?
No, go on.
Right, so I was doing rock and roll football on a Sunday, right? It was just me for 4 hours on my own. And then eventually they paired me up with someone because I was slowly going insane. And
now
started...
I've realised why you're so angry at the four-hour radio shows. You've lived
I don't
it.
Know. I have lived it. I did 2 years of 4 hours on a Sunday afternoon. Anyway, basically, originally I used to do it on my own without guests, just 4 hours, 2 till 6. Eventually they let me have guests. And then Matt Dyson, I did it with Matt Dyson.
Yeah, yeah.
He was like, sort of a...
40?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he does it before now. Then I moved to the Saturday. But originally the Saturday was like a bit more like Soccer Saturday. They had like Williams hosting and about four Premier League, ex-Premier League players, Perry Groves and Ian Wright would come in and commentate on the games like they do on Soccer Saturday.
Yeah.
But then I think they were trying to save money or whatever. Then eventually they stopped doing that show. I got moved to the Saturday and then they got another guy in to do the Sunday. So it was a bit awkward because essentially I was replacing a team of like about six on my own with Matt Dyson. And anyway... On the final day of the season, because the final games are on a Sunday, you always do the Saturday if you do the Sunday, if that makes sense.
Is this a logic problem, Rob?
No, it's not. No, so basically, normally,
was the doctor the mum? Is that what it was?
It's worth it when you... Right, let me explain again. They did every Saturday. I did every Sunday. End of the season. I was going to replace him on a Saturday. They were moving on. And then there was a new guy coming in on the Sunday. Right? That's what's happening. Yeah. However, in the football season, normally there's games on a Saturday and a Sunday. It ends on a Sunday. And every game's on a Sunday at 3 o'clock. So the main Saturday show switches. And then I would cover their Saturday with no football on. Right, basically. Anyway. So essentially, I got the day off on the Sunday, the final one of the season before next season, I moved to Saturdays. So I've got the day off. So I'm out for dinner and drinks with my friends in London, right? Anyway, I'm walking through Soho and I go, oh, I need a wee. I go into a bar for a wee. I walk into the goodbye party for the Absolute Radio Soccer Saturday show.
My word.
All the people that are going in and now I'm doing that Saturday.
Oh, my
God. I walk
God.
In for a piss.
Take just your dick out, start pissing everywhere.
I've pissed all over.
This is what I think of you guys.
I will get
so Liam Wright, Perry Groves, who else are we thinking of?
Russ Williams was there, a few other like ex-football. I can't remember who it was, but it was like a little tip. Perry Groves and Russ Williams, Ian Wright and all that. Anyway, so I walk in and it is so awkward because they all think I've just turned up to the leaving party.
Oh, God.
The person who's taken over.
Oh,
and I
no.
didn't know. And I was like, oh, hi, guys, you're right. And yeah, I'll, you come for
were
a drink.
Were they in the main bit of the bar? Or yeah, had you walked just, into like a you into
it was
a
just like a
room?
Pub. A pub. No, it was a pub in Soho, but quite quiet. And they had like about eight of them in a corner.
It was fucking quiet. Having, it was a wake on, Rob. They were mourning the death of their radio show. Of course it was quiet.
So thanks for listening today to the Radio Hell podcast, where we just talk about experiences on the radio. Right, kids. Let's talk about kids, Josh. You're getting up at 4:30 a.m., correct?
So Rose gets up to feed at 4:30, and then we try and push through. The horizontal sleeping at the bottom of the bed's not working anymore, Rob.
So where are you?
Well, I just kind of hang around until we realise he's definitely not going back to sleep, and then I take him downstairs. So I went down. It was only 5:45 that I went down this morning, Rob.
But you've been hovering since 4:30.
I've been, in and out of sleep since 4:30. It's just, the day is so long. The day is so fuck. And also, I want to talk about how I like to withdraw every complaint I made in the first year of this podcast. Because anyone with one kid who fucking complains...
I knew I was waiting. I didn't want to get it out of you, but I was waiting for this moment for the penny to drop. Go on.
It's a piece of fucking piss.
One kid is a piece of piss. Is that what you're saying to our poor listeners that are struggling with their firstborn, Josh?
No, what I'm saying is, if you're struggling with your firstborn, don't double down. Don't go all in. I've been thinking a lot about this. So it's, in one way, obviously, it's much easier to go from one to two.
Yes.
Which is that you've already lost your life.
Your life is already over.
Your life is already over, so it's much
The ship is sinking. What is a few more gallons of water on it?
Exactly. So on that front, I don't ever think, I wish I was in a bar on a Saturday night. I never think that.
No, no.
It hasn't entered my mind. However, it's so difficult. Even doing an hour in the morning with a 5-month-old and a 4-year-old. It's insane, Rob.
How are all the knickknacks going? Because
your
youngest isn't walking yet.
That's the least of my problems, yeah. No, oh, so this is the thing. He's going through a phase. He doesn't want to be put down. It's unbearable. You can't put him down.
Like an old dog that keeps coming back.
Taking him to the vet. He doesn't want to be put down.
He's turned a corner again. Old Rover. But he so constantly wants to be held.
Constantly wants to be held. So it's like a kind of... It's like a task in Big Brother, where they can't put the baby down for 4 days.
Does the bouncer work?
10 minutes max. He's teething. This is the thing. He's teething.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and my daughter, teething wasn't a big deal.
Can I say something, Josh?
Yeah.
Your daughter is a very calm,
she's not
chilled... Measured child.
She's not
very, very chilled, right? A bit like my eldest, right? Yeah. My youngest is slightly demented. I think this is all the hallmarks of a very busy, mad second one. And I'm going to predict...
I don't need this chat.
I'm going to predict...
I don't need the predictions.
I'm going to predict...
This is your fucking Mystic Meg.
About 12 months when he's walking about,
yeah.
Your knickknacks are fucked. They are going. You're gonna have to put high shelves up. There's no way the knickknacks around your coffee table will survive the second one. That's my prediction.
Okay, we'll see.
Because I still can't believe they survived your first ball.
They've easily survived our first ball because she's just not she's not interested in.
But I think boys are different. Boys have this mad-eyed energy that my youngest daughter's got somehow. So it's not all boys, but. She punches me, Jack. Jack. Why did you call me Jack?
Why have you called me Jack?
She punches me, Jack.
In your confession, you left it.
Why did I say Jack?
She punches me, Jack. You're all right, Rob.
She does punch me, though. She keeps headbutting me and, like, punching me.
What,
like,
your daughter?
Yeah, and then goes, then puts her head on my head and goes, and growls. And I go,
what, like a kind of. Razor Ruddock would in a kind of melee after someone's fouled him. You're like that kind of...
Yeah, like the old, like, you know, the beginning bit of, like, Danny Dyer's Deadliest Men when they're doing a bit to the camera to show how hard they are.
Right.
Sort of like Lenny McLean will lean on my head and growl. She growls at me and I go, stop fighting. And do you know what she said to me? She went, I'll never stop fighting. That's something out of a Martina Cole book.
That is amazing.
So, yeah, I mean, maybe it's a second born or it's just personality, but I think what you've got in your hands here is
a lot more chilled than her up until we've had the absolute shitstorm of will not be put down combined with the clocks going back.
And teething.
But I think will not being put down is seemingly related to teething.
Yes.
I'm telling myself that.
Have you tried for teething? Cold things, like put stuff in the fridge and give it to them? That's quite good for their teething.
Yeah. If you mean cowpaw, there, yes.
I mean cowpaw every 45 minutes. No, it's every four hours, guys.
We put him on a cowpaw drip. Do you think that's a mistake?
You could look, it's every 4 hours a cowpaw. And read the label. We're not giving anyone advice. And you can slip in a little Nurofen on the 2 hours.
Nurofen and cowpaw are fine on 2 hours each.
Apparently. I wouldn't say that to make your own mind up.
I've been told that by a respected... Backstreet GP. No, by that's what they tell you at the chemist.
I've done my own reading, actually.
Yeah. Also, here's a few facts about climate change for you, Rob.
I've done my own reading on the vaccination, guys, actually. So I've done my own reading on the cowpaw. I've done my own research on Facebook. So, you know, I'm pretty well informed on the old cowtopole.
Rose's panic on the cowpaw early doors with her first child. The feeling that were you to give 2.6, that's it. It felt like if you were to give them 2.6 millilitres in Rose's world, dead. Like,
really? She's really on it, yeah. I'm
she was like...
More relaxed in measurements.
It's 3 hours 50. She'd be like, yeah, we can't do it. And you're like, come on! They're going to give you a fucking buffer zone in case anyone fucks it up. It's not like 2.5 stops your headache, 2.6 kills you. That's not how it works. But do read the cow and follow all the instructions on the cowpaw.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. No, because we needed cowpaw when we were abroad. So we went into just like Dubai chemist and asked for cowpaw, and they gave me like Arabic cowpaw, which had a different name, but it was cowpaw, but it felt quite exotic. Really felt like being abroad.
How was Dubai, Rob?
Okay, so Dubai, I went out, for people who don't know, I went out there to do a gig, but some people take a tour support and tour manager. I took my entire family. So we eked a holiday out of it. We was there for 7 days. I'd say, Josh, it was probably the best holiday we've ever had as a family.
Oh, wow.
However, when I tell you what actually happened on it, you'll think I'm lying.
Okay.
You don't really relax on a holiday with your kids. Like,
no.
you're exhausted. However, it was the first time we've took them on holiday and we could sit on the edge of the pool or on a lounger and just watch them in the kids' pool and they were sort of safe enough. They could, like, stand up in it all the way round. They're both swimming now. And obviously we had to watch them the whole time, but we're not hovering over them.
Yeah, you're not doing the lean over.
And it was an amazing... No lean over... Burnt back central. It was such a relief and it was so lovely. However, there was it's never easy with kids and about a million things went wrong. Going backwards, we had a lovely trip on the way home. The 3-year-old was sick in the back of the cab 20 minutes from our house. Travel sick.
Oh my word.
Absolutely everywhere. It was horrific and like all in her hair, all over her face. It was just... Because travelling's hard, isn't it? The flight back, Josh. The ear popping. Have you ever taken your kids on a plane yet?
I've taken my daughter on a plane.
Did she have ear popping problems?
No, she was all right, actually. Do you know what? She was all right. That was the least of our issues.
they were pretty well behaved, the kids. But on the ear popping thing on the plane, it was quite funny getting on the plane back. There was a few broken parents. There was a couple in front of us that had like a 4-year-old and a 4-month-old. We got in the lift to go down to like the departures, and she just went, "How did you find it?" It was like, "Oh, pardon." She went, "Your holiday." I went, "Oh yeah, it was good." She went, "Too young." That's all she said. "Too young." Bless her. She looked like she'd been so looking forward to this holiday. She was too young. That's all she said. But anyway, the ours were kicking off on the way back because their ears were popping, and because I think they had water in their ears from the pool. So we tried all sorts, chewing gum. Like parents were so lovely. They kept them passing and stuff, like chewing gum, earplugs, lollipops, and all that. And my kids just kept on going, "I just want to go home now," as if that had been an option. I was like, "Oh yeah, we've just done the 7-hour flight. Yeah, let's just teleport now, shall we?" Seems silly to do the rest of the flight. But it's weird with their ears popping. There's nothing you can really do. Like, you want to help them, but it's a bit like, I imagine, watching them get their heart broken when they're about 17. It's just part of the course. Basically, your ears pop, they hurt a bit, then it stops. But there's nothing you can do or say. You can try and be supportive.
Yeah.
What I would say is, though, other people's kids kicking off really help my morale. So,
it's nothing better. I think they should put one on each flight, really, just to cheer up parents.
That. They should just do that. They should be employed by the airline, that one kid just kicking off so you feel better. Because when my kids were screaming a little bit about their ears, there was another kid that just screamed in his mum's face, "I'm going to kill you," over and over again.
How old was he?
2.5.
Fucking hell.
"I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill..." This poor one was so embarrassed.
Oh my God, that is awful.
We had stress on the way out, Josh. What time do you like to get to an airport when you're flying solo and when you're flying with kids? Talk me through it.
Well, I've only flown with kids once.
Yep.
So, solo?
Yeah.
Well, probably I like to allow time because I don't mind the departure lounge.
No judgment here. I like to get to an airport two hours before, even on my own.
But do you know what? I certainly wouldn't... be that stressed if it was cutting it a bit finer, because I always think it'll always work out. I'm not too bad with airport departure times.
But, okay, with kids and two kids, a lot of cases...
Yeah, that's a different game.
I want to get there. I'd say maybe even 2.5 hours early. Just drop the bags.
What are you planning on doing in your 2.5 hours? Drop the bags.
Drop the bags, and then we're going to go and have some like sit-down food and properly feed them when they get on the plane, because they never really like the plane food. So try and find something they're definitely going to eat, and there's more options. Sit down, have that properly. Maybe have a walk around the shops, get the kids a magazine. Let them run around the airport so they're tired before the flight. Maybe if there's a little soft play, let them do that. And if they're just running at the airport, when they get on the plane, they're not, you know, as antsy. You know what I mean? If you sit in a car for an hour and a half, get straight to the airport, sit straight on the plane for 7 hours, they've not had a runabout.
Do you know what? Listening to you describe that makes me realise just how shit it is travelling with kids. Because think what you would normally do on the departure lounge. How much pleasure it normally is just to go, I'm just going to go and have some food. I'm maybe going to have a beer. I'm going to go and I'm going to usually buy some toothpaste because I've forgotten it, or buy a neck pillow, obviously.
You love a neck pillow.
I love a neck pillow. But do you know what I mean? Normally, and then I'm going to amble to the departure gate 45 minutes before, and fucking hell, you're trying to run these kids tired.
We tell it, and then you're in a cab home, and they're physically sick.
Oh, mate.
It was worth it, but it is hard work. Anyway, so our flight was at 2:20 p.m, right? Heathrow. It's about an hour and a half to Heathrow. Can sometimes be like an hour and 10 minutes with like zero traffic in the middle of the night, or it can be up to 2 hours on a busy day. Anyway, right? So our flight was at 2:20. So say it takes an hour and a half. They wanted to pick us up, right? We tried to book a cab, right, through the travel agent, and they said, they'll come about 11:30. I was like, pardon? But that means we get there at like, if there's no delay, 1:00. An hour and 20 minutes before the
flight. Fuck that, Rob.
That's with no delay, right, at all. I was like, that is mental. I went, no, let's book it for 10 a.m. And that way, we get there at 11:30, 2 hours before, job done, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're waiting for the cab. Cab doesn't come.
Oh, God.
Cab doesn't come. Gets to 10:30. Cab doesn't come. 30 minutes late. So I'm ringing about. Apparently, the travel agent people had told them, but the cab company didn't change the pickup time. So I'm downloading every app to try and get a cab to the airport. I've got two kids. So the cab needs to have car seats in and space in the back for the baggage, right? What?
Don't go.
Right, so now 20 to 11.
Oh, in the God, end, okay. My hand's to 11. Going.
You're capping, right? Eventually, we had to ring Lou's dad, who luckily was in and lived around the corner and came and got us. If we didn't live near our in-laws, we wouldn't have gone. We would have missed a flight because he never would have made it. And then got in the cab, the father-in-law's car.
Yeah.
2 hours it took, right? And he saved our holiday, but it took 2 hours in the cab. There was a car, sorry, his car. Yeah. Loads of traffic because of that. But also, when there wasn't traffic, he loves a 60-mile-an-hour motorway drive. And I don't want anyone to speed, but I'm just like, we're running late for a flight. Hit the limit, Mick. Hit the limit. You've got to be hitting the limit. And I love hearing about your tulips that you planted but don't regrow. You have to dig them up again and replant them in order for them to grow again. But I don't need it hour and a half away from my flight time. Do you know what I mean, Josh? And I love it. And
you front seat.
I was front seat. Just kept on Google mapping how long it was.
Google mapping.
It was horrible. It was terrible. And then we kept on getting stopped in traffic and in traffic. But we made it. And it Lou's dad's an absolute lifesaver. And thank you very much. He was driving at sort of semi fast. But you know when you're looking, like I'm just like, just put your toe down. Please put your toe down. But he drives quite sensibly. Which is the right thing to do, and we did make the time. But when you're a bit anxious like me, I'd happily.
I would not have enjoyed that, Rob.
I'd have said unlimited speeding fines and points that I'll take. Just get us there.
I'll take the rap, Mick.
But he literally saved the holiday. But that was, and that's so stressful because then we got there, and then we still got there sort of about an hour and 45 minutes before the flight. But it's quite stressful, and then they board the plane earlier for a long haul.
If there's fucking queues or if my bag gets checked,
all that, and we've got to go through like the security and there's queue. And last time I went to Heathrow, it was mad busy. Anyway, we made it, and it was so. But that was a stressful start, to be fair. And then so we made it, and then I did the gig. That was fun. Oh, you'll love this, Josh. Right, I did the gig in Dubai. Right, guess sometimes you know people message you for tickets, or the promoter says so and so wants to come to a show. I'll let you try and guess, but I don't think you'll ever guess who I had on my guest list for this gig. It was the most random collection of people of all time.
Well, I did Dubai. I supported Jack D in Dubai years ago.
Oh, yeah?
That's the only time I've gigged in Dubai.
Did he have any guests?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Sadly, now passed away, but the chef Gary Rhodes.
Oh, really? Yeah, he used to live out there and had restaurants out there. Yeah.
Yeah, but that was, as you would imagine, a random name you didn't expect to see.
And it was it just Rhodesy or any people with him, or just Rhodes and a few?
The reason I remember Rhodes is because he was at the after show drinks.
Yes.
And I talked to Gary Rhodes about his restaurant at the after show drinks.
Oh, that's exciting, isn't it? You're really
It was exciting. I was looking out over the Dubai skyline talking to Gary Rhodes, and I was thinking, how did this happen? What have I done with my life here?
Well, I'll go up through the ranks of who I had. I had four sort of names.
Would you describe them as the kind of people you'd imagine to go to a Rob Beckett show?
Yes and no, but certainly not all together. So there was Laura Anderson from Love Island, which feels like a Dubai kind of.
I don't know who that is. That's like Paul Gambaccini to you, Rob.
Yeah, she was on Love Island, okay, which is sort of, you know, fair enough.
Yeah.
Roman Kemp.
I know Roman Kemp. I know who he is.
Capital DJ.
Yeah.
What shift's he on, actually?
Do you know what time? I'll tell you what time he starts, Rob. Did he talk to him? Does he do it from Dubai so that he's on the correct time?
Oh, he's going to be all over the place. He's a few hours ahead. He must be exhausted.
So all these people on holiday?
I don't know what was going on, right, mate? You wait till you hear the next two. Anyway, Roman Kemp's there. Laura from Love Island.
Laura from Love Island, yeah.
Big Sam Allardyce, ex-England football manager.
Pint of wine, please.
Pint of wine. Then the best one, last one, Dane Bowers.
Oh, wow. Do you know what? Genuinely, the last two I'd be so excited to meet. Did they come back afterwards?
So,
that last one, Rob, and I'm going to say it is another level.
Well, Big Sam came back, and Roman Kemp, but they were like more of the... Sorry, I didn't laugh at your another level joke, sorry.
Come on, mate. Try my best. Sorry,
mate, I'm going out of my mind.
So Big Sam came back.
So Big Sam and Roman Kemp came back, but I think that was because they saw... No, they weren't together. They were new gay power couple, Big Sam and Roman Kemp. Who would have thought it?
So which two of those four were together?
So Dane Bowers and Laura Anderson from Love Island are a couple.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Anyway, so
sorry.
She messaged me on Instagram. I said, oh, here's some tickets. But I think it got lost in translation because the other two got tickets through the promoter. And then the promoter was organising the after drinks. But I only stayed for one and then left because it was I wanted to get back to Lou and the kids. So it weren't. I didn't really know there was a drinks thing. But I wish that Laura and Dane did come back because then I could have had a photo of Roman Kemp, Big Sam, Dane Bowers and Laura from Love Island. But I've just got one of Roman Kemp and Big Sam.
Do you know what's sad?
What?
Big Sam. One game as England manager, sacked.
Oh, God.
Goes to see Rob Beckett. One drink. See you later, Sam. Absolutely history repeating himself. Can't get past one. Just stood there on his own.
Well, Roman Kemp was talking to him about XG, which is expected goals, that book.
Expected
you know?
Goal, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think Sam had read the book. I think he thought the book was about expected games. Anyway, I love Big Sam and his wife Lynn. Absolutely lovely couple.
Lynn Allardyce.
Big fans Lynn. Of Dubai. Big fans
big
of Dubai.
Lynn, of course. Of course Big Sam is a big fan of Dubai.
And Spain. He's got a place in Spain. And they were getting on like a house on fire, but Roman kept on talking about...
Big Sam and his wife?
No, Roman Kemp and Big Sam. And they were he kept on talking to him about England at the Euros, and I thought it was a bit awkward.
Oh, God.
I was like, don't talk to him about that. Do you know what I mean? It's like going talking to Laura Anderson about Posh Spice in front of Dane Bowers. He's got history there.
God, poor old Big Sam.
Oh, Big Sam. He had a good night,
Goes
though.
Goes out to Dubai.
He had a free ticket and a couple of sahis on me. Don't you worry about that.
Yeah, of course. He enjoyed himself. And then he got stuck talking to Roman Kemp about XG and someone else who's got his job.
Yeah. And then the best bit was Roman Kemp, he's obsessed with football, he's a lovely lad, but he was talking about football. Yeah. And you could tell he was really excited to meet Big Sam, as you would be. But then he went, why, Sam, I've always wanted to ask a football person this, why do they do out swinging corners?
Oh, my God.
And I was just like, I don't think he wants this, Roman. And you know when you stood in the middle of two people and you think, how is my life this? I'm listening to Roman Kemp. He must be exhausted from his shift 6 till 10. To Big Sam, who's now in Dubai. I've just played the Opera House, front rows full of, like, you know, shakes. And then I've got Big Sam talking to him about in-swinging, out-swinging corners.
That is.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Genuinely. How soon after the words out-swinging corner did you go, anyway, I'm staying for once.
Guys,
so
I think I'm going to nip off, actually. I've got to tell you this kids club thing before we finish in Dubai. The hotel had a kids club, right? And I'm not a massive fan of leaving them in a kids club. I just like seeing them on holiday. I just love being with them.
It sounds like it, Rob, from what you've said.
Well, I do. Maybe I should have put them in the kids club. I'd have had more of a chill time. Anyway, because it's like a bit, there's loads of social distancing in Dubai still. They're only allowed to go in an hour per day because there's a limit on kids. Only like 25 kids could go in there. Anyway, so there was a kid... I went in, there was a big soft play area, but my kids wanted to go in, so I went in and read a book, sat there with them while they were in there. Anyway, this guy though, this dad was going, what do you mean it's only an hour? I want to put them in for 4 hours. And he stood there with his kid and they're going, oh well, we can't because of social distancing. Oh, and they're like, well, what's the point of an hour? I want to go for a few drinks, I can't do anything in an hour, I've got to come back. Can't you just get and then the kid went, but dad, I can just come with you.
Oh, God.
I know. And he was going, no, it's not the point, is it? I'm like, oh, my God, just take your kid to the fucking beach,
awful.
You animal.
Oh, that is awful.
I know. It was, it's just that poor kid. Imagine him.
Good to see Big Sam again, though, isn't it? Twice in 2 days.
He was trying to put Lynn in, actually, so he could go for a brunch.
He's meeting Roman Kemp. Jesus, that's pressing.
Look, mate, let's chat. Let's sort out throw-ins, set pieces and corners. Let's get it nailed down. Early doors.
Well, I'm glad you had fun. That is just an amazing lineup of people.
I've got so much more to talk about as well, but we're running out of time.
Well, I don't know when we're going to do it, Rob.
We could do it on Friday. I'll do a couple of things. One, never go to the outdoor theme park in Dubai.
I've been.
It's so hot.
It genuinely, and do you know what? I've done 2 gigs in Dubai. I've just realised I did another gig in Dubai, right? And
so
I hate theme parks, yeah?
Did you go on the Smurf ride?
I don't know.
It was so fast.
It was awful because normally I don't want to do the rides at theme parks, but yeah. I do them. But then I get to enjoy the queue to calm down.
Oh, God, that was too hot for the queue, mate, outdoors.
But there was no one there.
Yeah.
So we had the run of the theme park, so there was no queuing all day.
Yeah.
And everyone else went to do the fucking rides. So I was just on these fucking rides all day long. It was genuinely
awful. Hated it.
But that's what happened to us. I paid for Q Jump, right? Q Pass thing.
Yeah, because didn't I'm need one to of those quacks.
I didn't need to. I've never spent so much money in my life. We went on the Smurf ride twice. My kids, who are pale, you know when you can literally, the sun is so strong, I can literally see their skin burning, like, but like in a sped up video on their skin, like just while watching it, because it was so hot. And I was like, we need to get out of here. And then I hired a little buggy thing that you could only have in the park, but then I had another 15-minute walk in 35 degrees back to where the car park was. Oh my God, the kids went mental. I had to carry both of them because it was too hot for them to walk, and I had sweat dripping off my nose, and I had to wear a mask outside still, even though there's no one fucking there.
How was this the best holiday of your life?
I don't know. It shouldn't have been, but somehow... I'll tell you why it was. This is why it was, okay? And these are all the mistakes I made. With Dubai, keep it simple. What you got to do is just... be submerged in water all day in a kid's pool with your kid. And it's very key if your kids make friends. My kids made friends with these two other girls and another boy and a girl. Lovely, lovely, two lovely couples and their kids. And they literally just played in the pool with them all day. And then Josh, me and Lou made holiday friends.
In Dubai?
I've got...
was it Sam and Lynn?
No, it wasn't. I've got two guys that are my mates now called Mike and Andy.
Oh, you're going to go on... are you going to go on, like, post-holiday meetups?
Well, yes, I think we are. I think that's going to happen.
Oh, that is exciting,
so they're coming
it?
To gigs. They're going to come to some gigs, and I'm going to see them after my gig. Yeah. But what happened
not
was...
not the lineup you're normally used to at your gig.
No. It's got Mike, Andy, and then we've got Fabio Capello and Vanilla Ice. So what we did was we went out for dinner, and then about 8 o'clock with the kids and that. And then afterwards, me and the guys, because we wanted to watch the football, we watched the Carabao Cup. There's a really like oi oi little bar next door to the hotel. And we met at 10:30 in the lobby. I didn't know their names or have a phone number. They were just the kids around the pool's parents. And I said, lads, do you want to watch the football later? They went, yeah. I went, meet at 10:30 in the lobby. I met two men in the lobby of a hotel. I didn't know their names. And then we went and drank 6 pints of lager and stayed out till 2 a.m. with my new
friends.
And it was incredible.
You've got some new friends.
I've got some new friends. Holiday
Dubai
friends.
Well done, Rob. Where do they live? Do they live in a easy place for you to be friends with them?
So the one couple live like Ascot Way, sort of hour away, so not too far. And then the other ones live in Whitley Bay, much further, but they're going to come to a show up north. That's near Newcastle. We've got holiday friends now, Josh. We made friends. And,
well done, Rob.
But what was more key was the kids got on. Because I'll be honest, I don't really care what the parents are like if my kids are entertained all day. Do you know what I mean? Like, I will suffer a terrible parent if my kids are happy. Gosh. Luckily, these guys were great.
We'll be checking back in a year. I'll put that in my diary to check back in to see how much you've seen your holiday friends in a year's time.
Well, no, let me show you this. And this was bleak. You know, I've done a few rough gigs in my time, Josh, as you have. But this bar had the Carabao Cup on a big screen, but they also had a live band.
Fuck that.
So the live band were having to play while just loads of like drunk English people tried to watch Leeds Arsenal.
Oh my God.
Let me send it to you. It's great. These poor bastards, look at them.
Oh my God. That is brutal. I mean, that is unbelievable. You know when James Acaster was in a band? They did before he was a comedian, they did a gig and they just had a big screen up like that in the pub with like the news channel on.
Oh, God.
And he did a gig on the day of 9/11 and playing in front of the footage of 9/11, Rob.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, not as bad as that, but a similar experience. I once got booked for a corporate in the executive boxes of a cricket ground. And it was the day Andy Murray was in the final for...
that isn't as bad as 9/11, you're right.
Well, no, he won, didn't he? Good news. Yeah. But still distracting for a sports crowd.
Still distracting. I did that one at Edgbaston.
Yeah.
And I was the surprise host. And they announced me and they were like, you may recognise him from Dara O'Brien's Mock the Week and Dara O'Brien's School of Hard Sums and QI featuring Dara O'Brien.
No way.
Yeah. They must have mentioned him 3 or 4 times in my intro. The disappointment.
Right, we've gone over again already. Should I do some more Dubai on Friday?
I've got some stuff as well on Friday, Rob.
Oh, God.
Because we should be honest with people. We've had a little break of recordings. The last one was recorded early, so we've come back and we've got extra stuff. So we'll probably do correspondence next week.
Yes, yeah, we'll do correspondence. We'll get the stuff out. We'll do catch up and get a bit more on Friday. And then
because otherwise, we're going to be talking about Dubai and the middle of December. We need to get this all out of you, Rob.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. I've got a few more bits I'll do on Friday, then we'll get your Friday, and then we'll be back to correspondence the week later. Right, small business, and then we'll wrap up, shall we?
Yes.
I've got a small business shout-out here. This was actually some people that come and saw the show in Dubai, and they handed me this, so I said I'd do it for them. This is Dan and Natalie. Basically, they, in lockdown, set up a new company because I wasn't working as much, and it's a clothing, well, more swimming shorts at the moment, and it's called Doobs Apparel, and that's on Instagram, at D-O-O-B-S Apparel, and they do swim shorts.
Doobs, as in joints, as in bifters.
No, not doobs. I don't know. People call Dubai doobs, so I think as in doobs, Dubai.
Right.
So it's D-O-O-B-S Apparel.
As in smoking.
It's not like the sort of cartoons of people smoking massive spliffs that are like, you know, it's just swimming trunks. But yeah, so Dan and Natalie, and they gave me loads of good advice for kids in Dubai. So thank you very much, Dan and Natalie. And they went through the nightmare known as 2 Under 2. Been there, Dan and Natalie. Yeah, so Doobs, you can email them at info@doobsapparel.com or DM them at Doobs Apparel on Instagram. So yeah, good luck with that new venture.
Okay, Rob, please can you give my little business a shout out? I started it in lockdown, making bracelets and knitting chunky snoods.
Ooh.
Yeah, are you excited yet, Rob? Because strap in.
Oh no, what's it for?
Greyhounds and whippets.
Why does a dog need a bracelet? Why does it need a bracelet?
Oh mate, the problem is Christmas can't come soon enough for me.
Oh,
because
my God.
I am sending you a bracelet for your new dog.
Why does a dog need a bracelet?
Well, you'll see. Just heard the last. You'll find out on Christmas Day, Rob. Just heard the last podcast. Your daughters will love the dog bracelet.
I'm not giving my dog a bracelet. We'll get caught on something and trap it.
I just heard the last podcast and was so happy to hear Rob's getting a whippet.
Oh, fuck off, you whippet lot. I'm sick of it. They're lovely, but stop talking to me about whippets.
Shall be sending Freddy a snood. They are the best family dog. I don't have a website, but I sell on Depop at KOOKYLU or DM me on Instagram. Kooky Lou just for you.
Right, Kooky Lou, from me to you. Good luck with the business, but I'm not putting a snood on my fucking dog.
Send him a snood, Kooky Lou. Everyone, go out. If you've got a whippet, buy
a snood. Fucking got a whippet. Look at the demographics. How many people have got a whippet listening to this?
I was talking to Michael. He said our whippet listeners have gone up 15% in the last 2 weeks.
They're really quick to download. Always download in the first 15 minutes, and then you lose them for the rest of the day. Oh, God, we're getting it soon, really soon. We'll talk about that another time. Right, oh, God, I'm panicking about the dog now.
Right. See you on Friday. See you on Friday.
It's gonna shit everywhere, isn't it? Bye.